Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. Getting a little tongue-tied here, just starting my program here this afternoon, and trying to multitask too much, I guess, there at the start of the program. But welcome to the program. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you this afternoon. You can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear from you. Let's open our program today with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you so much again for the opportunity to be on the air today. We just pray that you bless the program. We just thank you for the opportunity. Use it for your glory. Help us appoint people to Christ. Help us to be able to make sense of things happening in the world around us in light of your word. And we just again pray that you would just use this program to help point people to Christ as their Savior and encourage Christians in their walk with you. We thank you for the opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, good to be with you today, and you know, this last several weeks, I was joking with somebody saying, yeah, it's been kind of a slow news week, hasn't it? And that was about a week or two ago, I think, when I was doing that, and it really hasn't let up between everything that's been going on lately, all the stuff coming out of the UN meetings, the stuff happening over in the Middle East, we'll touch on some of these things, and of course, the shooting out in Oregon yesterday. And you know, I was thinking about as I was walking across the parking lot coming into the building here today, I was thinking as I got out of my car, you know, when I'm in the car, I'm really protected from a lot of things, if you think about it. When you're in your car, and no doubt many people listening in their car right now, you're protected from a lot of things. You know, and it's getting cooler out there, and you've got the heater on in your car, and it warms you up. And when it's cold or it gets too hot, you put the air conditioning on. It protects you from the heat. If it starts to rain, or another month or so, we're going to have that dreaded four-letter word, snow, and then the three-letter word that goes along with it, ice. But your car can protect you from the snow and things while you're in it. But when you get out of it, then you're exposed to the elements, whether it's hot or cold, raining or snowing or whatever it is. And it would be like getting out of your car, and as I was coming across the parking lot, let's say it was raining and the wind blowing and everything. While I was in the car, I'd have been protected. But when I got out of the car and walking across the parking lot, and let's say I started to get rained on and getting cold and getting wet and a hat blow off my head and all this stuff, and then I turned around and shook my fist at the car and said, why are you doing this to me? Why are you letting me get cold? Why are you letting me get wet? Why are you letting the wind blow my hat off and things like that? And see, that doesn't make much sense, does it? But think about this, and we look at what's happening in the world around us today, and the Bible says that before the Lord comes back, it would be like as it was in the days of Noah, and also as it was in the days of Lot. And you think of those time frames and the characteristics of those time frames, it was all wickedness and evil in the world, iniquity abounded, homosexuality, sexual impropriety and immorality just abounded during those times. And, you know, we're living much in a world like that. And people shake their hand at God and they say, oh, God, why do you do these things? Why do you let these things happen? And if you think about it, all the way back in the beginning of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, when God created the world, and I believe he did it in 6 literal days and rested on the 7th, but God took man, which he created on the 6th day, and he said it wasn't good for man to be alone, and so he created woman, and the woman, Eve, And he took the rib out of Adam's side. He caused Adam to fall asleep. And then it says here in Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 21, the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. He slept. He took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." So here's the origin of man, and the Bible tells us in a previous verse there, have to come to that in a minute here, but I was looking for the verse where it said that Eve is the mother of all living, but I'll get on a sidetrack if I go down that road right at the moment. But what I wanted to get to is that God gave Adam some simple basic commands. Remember, Adam was created without sin, and likewise, so was Eve. She was taken from out of the side of Adam, and then she became a new living soul, and much like when God created Adam at the beginning of chapter 2, where he took the dust of the earth and he formed the body of Adam and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. There's the body, the spirit, and the soul of man created in the image of God, who of course, is a three-part being, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And so you can see that analogy there. We're creating God's image. We're a three-part being as well, body, soul, and spirit. God has a physical presence, God the Son. God has a spiritual part of his being. It's God the Holy Spirit. And then there's the equivalent of soul would be left to be God the Father, personality, emotion, intellect, all of that. So, but God created Adam, put him in the Garden of Eden, and God placed everything in the Garden of Eden that Adam needed to be happy, to be occupied, to be safe, to be secure. Everything was provided for in the Garden of Eden, and he even provided the perfect woman. And Eve, of course, was the perfect woman, and she was without sin as well. And God placed the two of them there in the Garden of Eden, and he gave them a command not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And again, Genesis chapter 2, in verse number 15, I'll start reading there. It says, "The Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Now, people say, well, if God didn't want Adam and Eve to sin, what did he put that tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden for? Well, it's very simple. He put it there so that they would have the opportunity to exercise free will, to willingly choose to obey God. The only way they could willingly choose to obey God was to have the same opportunity to willingly choose to not obey God. If all they could do was obey God, then they did not have any free will, and Calvinists could be correct. You know, the only thing they could do is what God allowed them to do. But God had to allow them to do something to disobey him in order that they could freely choose to obey him. And this proves right here that unlike the Calvinists teach, we do have a free will. And of course, that free will operates within limits, unlike what the non-Calvinists teach, and the Arminians, when they teach that that your free will trumps everything, but your free will is limited. And when we look at this with the free will here, they had a choice: obey God by not eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, or disobey God by eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that's why I come back to the car when I was talking about getting out of the car, being exposed to the elements. While they were there obeying God, while they were there doing what God said to do, they were in the Garden of Eden. They had everything provided for them. They were under the protective hand of God. God was watching over them. He had provided for all of their needs. But here's the thing. To exercise free will, there's a cost. See, when you are obedient to God, God will bless and provide and protect and all these things, much like what's reflected in God's agreement, his his covenant with the Jewish people, you know, many, many thousands of years later. He had a covenant agreement with them that while they obeyed him and kept his law, he would bless them, and he would protect them, and he would prosper them. And you can see in Jewish history that while they obeyed him, he did indeed bless them, prosper them, and protect them. But also in the covenant that God had with the Jewish people is if they disobeyed God's law and they did not keep his commandments, then God would refrain from blessing, protecting, and providing for their needs. And they agreed to that. And so that was an example for us to look at. When we're under God's hand, we're under his protection, we're within his will, we're under the protection of God, and we're under the blessing of God and the provision of God. All of that is there for us. But when Adam disobeyed God, because remember in Genesis chapter 3, the Bible tells us that the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, I mean, he spoke to Eve first there in verse 1. Yea, hath God said, he shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And again, he starts putting that doubt in Eve's mind. Did God really say that? Yea, hath God said. And of course, Eve responds in verse 2, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the trees which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not touch it, or not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And she had added that there a little bit to what God had said. Because God had said over in Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 17, he said, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So she had added to God's word. Now, I don't know all the details as to how Eve added to God's word, but she did. And she added, neither shall ye touch it. And God hadn't said that. See, we go astray when we add to God's word. And unfortunately, people have added, and people have also subtracted to God's word. You'll go astray doing that as well. And of course, the serpent said to the woman, ye shall not surely die. But for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So the devil comes against Eve, gets her to mistrust God's word, alters God's word, and then when Eve looks at the tree and saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now, mostly we focus on the fact that they ate, and people say, well, they didn't die immediately. In fact, later on, the Bible says that Adam lived hundreds of years, 800 and some years old, and they had children, and so they didn't die the day that they ate it. Well, no, they died spiritually, and we know that because immediately they knew that their eyes were opened, they knew that they were naked, and they made the fig leaf aprons, and they hid from God in the presence of the garden when God came to talk with them. And so they had died spiritually. But let me go back to something that we miss. See, she looked at the tree and saw that it was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desired to make one wise, and says she took of the fruit thereof. Now remember, she said in response to the devil in the form of the serpent, saying you shall not surely die, in Eve's mind at this point, she was convinced that God had said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Eve didn't just take a bite of the fruit. She touched it. And remember, in her mind, she was saying that God had said, if you touch it, you'll die. She touched the fruit. She didn't die. She didn't feel any different. She touched the fruit. God never said you couldn't touch the fruit. They could have picked up the fruit, and they could have played ball with it. They could have thrown it back and forth. They could have done anything they wanted. They could have climbed the tree if they wanted to. He never said they couldn't touch the fruit. She touched it. Nothing happened. And so she thought she was okay. And then she proceeded to eat it. And that's where she violated God's law. Now, Adam, who was living in a place that God had provided for him, God had blessed him abundantly. God was providing for every need that he had. God was protecting and watching over him there in the Garden of Eden. Adam made the choice. He said, I am going to take myself out from underneath God's hand. I am going to exercise my free will, and I am going to disobey God. And that's why the Bible says by one man, sin entered into the world. It didn't say by one woman. By one man, sin entered into the world. Eve was deceived. She was tricked. She was duped into touching the fruit and seeing that she didn't die. And so she began to doubt what God said completely, even though she was doubting what she thought God said, but what God hadn't really said. You know, people do that all the time with the Bible. They'll say, oh, God says this, God says that. He never said it. But then they'll make a straw man argument. And I heard somebody recently saying that if he died, and he's somebody who's an atheist or an agnostic, and he said if he died, well, they said, well, if God really did exist, what would you say to him? And he said, I would say to him, how dare you? How dare you create cancer? How dare you create suffering? And, you know, completely misunderstanding what God has done. Completely misunderstanding. It's just the idea of somebody standing before God saying, how dare you, to God is mind-boggling when you consider, you know, who and what God is in his holiness and his righteousness, and in certainly the insignificance that we are compared to God, who not only created the heaven and earth, but contains the heaven and the earth within him. God is not contained by the heavens and the earth. The heavens and the earth are contained within God. God is so much immensely bigger. He's infinitely larger than the universe that he created. God is an infinite being. He has no definable size. He's of infinite size. God has no limit on his knowledge and understanding, because he's of infinite wisdom and knowledge and understanding. He's an infinite being, quite unlike us. But when Adam chose to disobey God, he exercised the free will option that God gave him, proving that we do indeed have free will, but he took himself out from underneath the protective hand of God. And it's just like when I got out of my car, I willingly took myself out from the protection that the car involves or provides. And of course, it's a nice sunny day out there right now, but had it been raining like it was the other day, I would have exposed myself to the rain because I was no longer under the protection of the car's roof. I can't blame that on the car. There's consequences to free will, and the consequence is that you have to be willing to accept what happens as a result of your decision. Otherwise, there's really no free will. God did not want Adam to sin. I know that the Mormon church teaches that that was God's plan. I know that the Calvinists teach that God designed Adam to and determined beforehand that Adam would sin. That's not what God's not the author of sin. I know that a lot of people try to say that he was supposed to do this. No, he wasn't. That was not God's perfect will for Adam and Eve, to see them eat the forbidden fruit. But when they did that, Adam had to take the consequences of his action, or there really would have been no point in having the choice. So the consequence was he came out from underneath God's protection. It's one of the reasons that he was cast out of the Garden of Eden. Also, God did not want them to be able to go in there and eat the fruit from the tree of life and live forever in their fallen state. God did not want that for them. He doesn't want us to live forever in a fallen state. And so God gave them a choice. They chose the wrong choice. And the consequences were they came out from underneath the protective hand of God. And as a result, now we have things that happen as a result of being out from underneath God's protection. And just like if I got out of my car on a rainy day and walked out into the wind and the rain, it's not the car's fault that I got out. The consequence of my choosing to get out of the car is that I expose myself to the wind and the rain. The consequence of man's sin was that man exposed himself to sin and iniquity and the terrible things that God did not want for us. God would have protected Adam more had he stayed under God's will, or in God's will. And now let's flash forward there, and I spent a great deal of time talking about this, and I'm going to try and apply that to some of the things that we see happening today. God gave us a book. You know, we call it the Bible. We call it the Bible, and some people have said the Bible, B-I-B-L-E, you use it as an acronym. You could say it's basic instructions before leaving Earth. And there's some wisdom in that that little saying. But if you think about it, the Bible tells us what we need to know to get ourselves back under God's protective hand. And let's take the analogy a little further here. With the car again, and I say, boy, it's raining out here, and as I approach the building, somebody holds the door open to the building and says, oh, come in, get out of the rain, and I say, no, I think I'll stand out here in the rain for a while longer. Now, see, I have the option of protection from the rain, protection from the storm, and I choose not to take it. And then the guy that's holding the door for me says, come on, you're getting soaked, come on, I'll hold the door, come on in. And I say, no, who do you think you are to tell me what to do? And then I say, and besides that, why are you letting me get wet? What's the purpose of that? Why are you being so mean? And the guy's simply trying to help me get in out of the storm. Well, God gave us the word, and when people come to Christ as their Savior, it's like coming into the building, coming under the protection. And then when we get saved, we see other people stand out in the storm, and we say, here's the open door. Of course, Jesus Christ is the door. He said, I am the door. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. He said, he is the door. He is the way. And so we open the door, we invite people to come and trust Christ as their Savior, and they say, no, I don't want it. And then they rail against the storm, and they rail against everything that they could be protected from if they would put their faith in Christ. Now, it doesn't say that the storms are going to cease. It doesn't say that you're not going to have problems. It just means that you'll be under the protection of God when you come under his will. And God's will, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And see, there's the rub. People don't want to repent. They don't want to admit that they're sinners. They don't want to admit that their way that seems right to them, Bible says there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is destruction, is death. They don't want to admit that. They're following their religion. They're following what they think is right. They're following what makes sense to them. And they rail against God for allowing them to suffer. And they rail against God for allowing there to be cancer and terrible things like this shooting out in Oregon yesterday. Terrible things like the terrorism and the threat from Islamic jihadis and all of this. Now, all of those are the consequences of disobeying God. All of those are the consequences of man freely choosing to get out from underneath the umbrella of God's protection. And because they chose to do that, we're exposed to the sin and the wickedness that God would like to protect us from. God wants us to choose to come under his protection. How do we do that? Well, we have to admit to God that we were estranged from him. We have to admit to God that we're out from underneath his will, his protective will. We have to admit to God that we're lost. And in order to do that, we have to admit that we're sinners. We have to admit that we've sinned. We have to admit that we've broken God's laws. When we do that, we certainly have to admit that what we're doing isn't going to save us. What we're doing isn't going to help us. In fact, it's only going to hinder us from coming to Christ. When we're willing to admit those things, and we look to Jesus, and we realize that Jesus Christ, as God in the flesh, willingly came to this world, lived a perfect, holy life that we can't do, and then he went to the cross where he suffered and died, shed his blood to pay for our sins. When we realize he did that for us, that he was buried, and rose again the third day victorious over sin and death, and the Bible simply says if we'll believe that he did that for us, we'll confess our sin, turn to him. That's where the repentance comes in. My way's not good enough. I need God's way, and that's Jesus Christ. I believe that He died, shed His blood to pay for my sins. And when we do that, God saves us. We come under His protective will. The Bible says we don't need to fear death. Death has been defeated. We have a home waiting for us in heaven. God will watch over us. We'll go through some difficulties, but God will be with us every step of the way. Why stand outside fighting against God? Get under God's protective will. Trust Christ as your Savior. Join us again next week. God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.